to the Power Hour. Ladies and gentlemen, this is one of those guests that you just can't miss, and we're very excited to have her on. Again, the last interview we did with Deborah Tavares from StopTheCrime.net, pretty much went viral. The video went great. Catherine did a great job with the documents. I think this interview is going to have potential to go even with more impact. Let me give a little background before we let Deborah run with this. Here's what we know. So, you know, Northern California, the Butte area, paradise was a city that it was centered on. You're seeing fires everywhere. You're seeing people that have died. You're seeing testimony of that there were much more deaths than were reported. You're seeing PG&E, that is Rothschild-owned, was at the center and involved somehow in this. You're seeing houses that burn totally abnormally. Cars burn totally abnormally. Smart meters seem to have been involved. The fires were a house-to-house ignition. There were trees between them that weren't burned at all. And Paradise is also gold country. That's what we know. We know that a documentary with Opie from Ron Howard. Ron Howard is planning a documentary in the area. And I bet you none of those things will be mentioned. It is very suspicious. There is circumstantial evidence around it, around Agenda 21, around the herding of people into megacities, taking people off the land. That is extreme circumstantial evidence of some kind of orchestrated plan. The whole thing, you can call conspiracy theory, you can call whatever word you want. It is extremely suspicious, and there is certainly evidence that the story that we are being told is not true. At the heart of it is this woman, Deborah Tavares, who is an absolute hero. She doesn't like for me to say that, but I'm going to say it anyway. She is standing really in the face. Think about if what she's saying is true and her standing up, what that means, and the flack she is getting and the weight of the world that is on her. We appreciate her so much. We want to hear more of what's going on. Deborah Tavares, StopTheCrime.net. Welcome back to the Power Hour.
Well, Daniel, thank you so much for having me back on. Since last speaking with you, we have gone up to Butte County, to Paradise, and some of the surrounding areas that were burned as well. And we've gone up with several ex-fire captains that between the two of them have 60 years of strike team fire experience. They also were, one of them was fighting here in the Tubbs Fire in Northern California during October of 2017 and has since retired. He saw firsthand the intentional use of weapons systems and the primary focus on safety for the firefighters. A new method of firefighting is safety, of course, for the firefighters, evacuation, and clear the area, because they're not equipped at all to fight fires as they have been in the past. In fact, I want to say this now. We were filming a meeting here in Santa Rosa just after the car fire up in Redding. And the sheriff and other agencies were reporting on those firefighting efforts. And we were told by the sheriff that it was difficult to fight and literally arrive at that firefighting effort in the air because of all the drones that were flying over Redding at that time. And I asked in front of a group of a couple hundred people, why didn't you clear the drones out of the way? I mean, shoot them down if they were in the way of firefighting efforts. And he said, in front of all the people, we needed to first confirm what agency they were with. So I will leave that up to everybody as we roll in to what we observed in the town of Paradise. We saw, in fact, that the smart meters were involved. It was a house-to-house ignition. We know, and the firefighters observed, that the trees resisted the fires, which everyone can see from the overhead aerial photography, that the tops of the trees are still green. And we actually have on film, in a predominantly destroyed school up in the town of Paradise, in a meter cabinet that was not singed on the exterior at all, was a blown-up smart meter inside. Now, on my other website, which I don't talk about that much because I don't post on it regularly, is smartmetersmurder.com. Everyone will find a link to smart meter fires throughout the many years of deployment history, including a number of Pacific Gas and Electric whistleblowers that were telling us years ago that Pacific Gas and Electric knew the smart meters were causing fires, and they are. They're pulsed, and they can cause brownouts in our homes, and they can take down our appliances. Anytime you have an appliance that has been destroyed or isn't functioning right, you have to suspect the smart meter if it's on your home. So I will say one thing right now for everyone that can: opt out of the smart meters as soon as possible. We have observed that in the fire areas, many of the homes that managed to survive did not have smart meters. Now, I can't say that completely, but we have made that observation. You must understand, we are in an active criminal crime scene, and the perpetrators are determining the cause. So we are up there with investigators, and other people are up there with investigation work being done as well to determine the facts around this. But I want to, and it's important to understand that, of course, we know the capabilities of the weapons systems. We've been told about this for many, many years, and there are many documents that talk about that. And we have the Senate report that Krasinich put forth years ago that talked about the cease and desist hopeful plan that they wouldn't use space-based weapons and weapon systems that would cause fires. So it is just really important to understand the enormity of what we face here and the amount of work that's going into covering all of this. I'm just going to jump around a little bit here, Daniel.
Yeah, Deborah, before you do, let me interject here. Let me summarize what you said before, because I don't want to gloss it. Let me summarize, and then you tell me where I'm right, wrong, whatever. You're saying you went up to Paradise, which is kind of the epicenter of the fires in California. You went with fire chiefs, experts, many decades, several decades experience between them. What you saw was that a new method of firefighting was being employed because these fires were unlike basically anything they had experienced. You looked at some of the houses. The houses were very unusual the way they were burning. The trees were not burned between them a lot of times. They were still green. I even saw one picture of the grass was still green, and the houses were basically burnt to dust. You're seeing complete evidence without question. You saw evidence of smart meters being somehow involved here, smart meters either being blown up. No other way to look at it than the smart meters. The fires were of unusual characteristics. And you have seen been able to come to the conclusion that this is not typical, something outside the ordinary. From your experience, from these firefighters' experience, this is what we know. This is what you just told us.
That's exactly what I just said, and we're still working on this, and I know that I will be able to present more information as we work through this. We're being hit with a myriad of a variety of topics to cover regarding the fires here in Northern California, as you can only imagine. And I want to say this, that on the front lines, we went to displaced camp fire victims, areas where they are housing them. And when you go into the Chico area, which is adjacent to Butte County, where the fire struck, you see families living in tents with their children wandering around sneezing in muddy fields. And you realize the priority right now is to get these people fed and housed. And this is right now the most overwhelming task, is to get these people out of the cold and the rain. So we observed a number of areas where the fire refugees were cordoned off because of norovirus, N-O-R-O virus. Those are flu-like symptoms. Actually, the norovirus is now making a comeback throughout the United States. You can't treat it with anything. It's usually a 1 to 3 day infection rate, depending on someone's immune system. But they are flu-like symptoms, and the symptoms correlate with the frequencies do when we are overexposed to frequencies. And so for those of you that are listening, please print off the microwave radiation frequency and Wi-Fi symptom list that we have on StopTheCrime.net, we were seeing people wandering around not only in shock, of course in shock, they've lost everything, escaping here, escaping those fires, exactly like the escapees were here in the Santa Rosa area just 1 year ago. With the flames literally lapping at their heels. We're going to be posting more interviews of what it was like to escape that morning of the fires on November the 8th of 2018. But I've got to cover a few things that are extremely important right
There's
now.
There's the music. Hold that thought. Hold the thought, Deborah. There's the music on the other side. We'll get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, Deborah's been talking about this for years. And she said this is exactly what's going to happen, and yet here it is. How'd she know that? Not a coincidence. We're talking to Deborah Tavares from StopTheCrime.net, and it's developing, like she says, an active crime scene and being evaluated by the perpetrators. That's what she always says. Very interesting. Deborah, before we're going to get deeper into this, and you have, I know you have really groundbreaking stuff to discuss. From somebody who is not there, and all over the country we hear rumors, we hear this. Tell us a little bit about Paradise, what you see, you know, is there military there, is there city government, what do you see, are areas cordoned off, what?
Yes, okay, on the first day that we arrived, we saw tremendous government presence there. It was literally seized by government from all different levels. We saw Cal OES, that's the Office of Emergency Services there. They actually arrived the day of the fires, which was curious to all of us. The day of the fires, they were there.
Yes.
There was National Guard in great numbers. There was Army, FEMA, Red Cross, Pacific Gas and Electric, a.k.a. Rothschild, in mass. Hundreds and hundreds of PG&E trucks, new trucks. And hundreds of other agencies with equipment, predominantly a lot of tree removal equipment. There's been a real concern over the extreme logging that is taking place there now in trees that do not look like they were burned. And we also observed replacement of many, many miles of guardrail along the main access road up in to Paradise. And what the firefighters observed about the replacement of the guardrails and were curious is that the guardrails were originally supported by those short, stocky, probably 8x8 wooden posts, roughly the size, I guess, of that. And the posts burned, but yet the low grasses around the area of the post were not singed at all. And so what their... assessment is that the metal guardrails heated up and the lag bolts that went into the metal or into the wooden post caused the post to burn and ignite, and they caught on fire. And the guardrails in many areas were literally lying on the ground, and they and the agencies were there replacing all of those burned out wooden posts with metal posts and new guardrail. Now, it was horrific. We went into some of the camps. There was massive registration requirement going on. We weren't able to get into some of the camps. They were literally preventing people from talking to a lot of these survivors. However, we do have a number of first-hand survival accounts that we will have up on StopTheCrime.net. Be patient with us. We're rolling in so much information right now. We just can't post things fast enough. But I want to say that it was diabolical. At this moment, about 85% of the town of Paradise is gone. What now has occurred is that the city council, all their homes are lost. They don't have a city at this point. The banks are closed currently at this point. There was an East-West bank that was actually burned down a year ago. And recently, as of a few days ago, their temporary trailer was noted that their backup generator that served their temporary trailer was burned up, but the trailer was still in place. So the town is pretty much gone. We saw a number of houses. We were witnessing some survivors able to return to some areas. Many of the areas were cordoned off, and we were told because of removal of power lines that were lying across the road and the dangers of trees that have been compromised, we weren't able to access. Actually, those were the areas where we saw most of the burned up cars with the bodies in them. So there is a real concern, certainly, that the reporting of death is not as it really is. But again, as I say, this is an active crime scene. So I want to say a few things. I have quite a bit of breaking news, but before I do some of that, and because people will need to understand why and how all of this can happen, because what you're going to hear me discuss is just really so over the top that unless you clearly understand the mechanisms behind this, you won't understand the enormity of what we're all facing, and you won't be able to hear my words, and I want you all to hear my words. And this is what we have. Our government is a network of corporations, and these corporations have policies that have been designed to determine the minimum and optimal levels of destruction of life, of property, and all natural resources. And all of these goals have been incrementally advanced as to not create a crisis in public confidence. So the majority of people in all of our offices and city governments and in these corporate agencies are, and they represent human compromise. Either they're under complete mind control, MKUltra mind control, they're blackmailed, or they are certainly advantaging with massive amounts of payoffs, greed, and lust for power. So this is human compromise and mind control, and we are not in a position now of any longer feeling that we have elected officials representing us. We do not. So I want to just go into a little bit, and this will be a continued story that we'll expound upon. But what we're now finding and hearing and seeing is that millions of dollars are pouring in to the wildfire relief in the Camp Fire area. And it's important to note that they also have a fire resilient beer, B-E-E-R. There are many now soda companies that are getting on board with this resiliency. Understand, when you type in resilient cities, you find Rockefeller and Rothschild. So what we have is funding back into a mechanism that were the perpetrators of these crimes and asking for donations from all of us to fund the very consequences of the death and destruction that was intentionally created. So let me just talk about the donations for a moment or two, because we saw this occur in Santa Rosa here in Sonoma County. And understand, a year after the fires here in Sonoma County, there was a release of a movie, and it was called Urban Inferno, The Night Santa Rosa Burned. We were told that all of the proceeds from this film were going to be donated to the Sonoma County Community Resilience Fund. Again, that's Rothschild and Rockefeller. And these go to agencies that have already been set up and already existed in the community. So let's talk about that. We've done some investigation now already up in Butte County and in Chico about the collections of these funds. And it's the same story there as what occurred here in Santa Rosa. They're telling everybody that 100% of your donation will stay local, and that we will be making decisions as needs arise over the next year or more. Now, I can tell you, these people have immediate needs. They can't wait for a year, and the funds that are being collected need to get to them. So here's what we were told when our research team asked some of the local companies, do the monies go to the individual? And they were told no. They were told no. They do not go to the individuals. They go into nonprofit charity organizations that distribute the monies to the community. And again, they don't go directly to the survivors. And we'll continue on the other side.
We're at the break. We'll continue on the other side. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.